Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We haven't had a chance to lighten things up recently with a good old-fashioned Free Your Mind Friday in quite a while. The news has been just plain rough. But we're going to give you a chance to talk about what's getting on your nerves and grinding your gears. I have a couple of great comedians to help us get it all out of our system tonight. We have the lovely and funny Del Harrison tonight, and of course, Baltimore's own Larry Lancaster. The lines are already open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let me just say, Del Harrison.
Hey.
My goodness. Can I just say, Larry, I need a moment.
Okay. I noticed how you introduced Dale like the lovely and vivacious, and then you was like, and this brother from Baltimore. I ain't gonna say nothing about it. Hey, you world. You my guy.
Okay, and the love, okay. You want me to call you lovely and vivacious,
no,
Larry?
No. I knew that's the next thing.
I mean, you know, it's 2022. You know, I'm equal opportunity for the brothers, you know. Just I want to make sure they feel loved. Del, you are hilarious.
Thank you so much.
I love the stuff that you do with Big Ja.
Thank you so much.
All of you are goofy in L.A. I don't know what you all are feeding, what they're feeding you all out in L.A. You all are hilarious.
I'm feeding myself out here in L.A., and let me just say this. Larry, don't be hating on my lovely environment out here.
Hey, Dale, you know you my sister, and I love you, so it's not that.
Love you, brother.
So, you know, we haven't, as I said, we haven't done a good lighten your load, get it off your chest, Free Your Mind Friday, and there's a lot that's really kind of ticking me off right now. But, you know, ladies first. Del, what's grinding your gears right now? What's bothering you?
Ooh, I am so glad you asked, because, look, I was at a show last night, and, when you're out here in L.A., everybody is so politically correct that they just subscribe to all these, you know, things that separate us, like the pronouns. Everybody's like, what's your pronoun? And it gets on my nerve because, see, as a person that loves the Lord, you got to be aware of the devil's games out here he playing. Like, you know, I go into a school, they're talking about, what would you rather be called? Oh, I got the perfect pronoun for everybody. Just call me my name. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just write my name down, and let's just everybody call each other name. Like, the only reason I would even need to use a pronoun is if I'm talking about you when you're not in your presence. When I'm not in your presence, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm using a pronoun, you're not gonna walk up to me here, and I'm gonna be like, hey, he, how are you, him? What's going on? Hey, he, you know what I'm saying? Like, pronouns take the focus off of you being a human being and puts it on your lifestyle. Let's take it, like, I don't care about your lifestyle. Let's put it back on human being, and I'll just call you Mark Shiva, Dontavious, or whatever your name is.
Dontavious.
That's
sounds,
right.
That sounds like a superhero name. God, I think... But you got to meet people where they are, you know, and I think, you know, Dontavious may be a little more difficult to pronounce than he, she, they, or them.
Well, you know what, as a Dontavious, you know, a possible Dontavious dater out here, I have learned plenty of Dontavious names, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so Larry, what's bothering you this week, man?
Dale, that was Hurl trying to let you off the hook, and you just jumped right back on the hook. Like,
I do what I can.
Dante, yeah, I understand what Dale is saying to a degree, because it irritates me, too, when people refer to themselves as they. And I'm like, I know one person when I see one, so I'm going by that. You don't outnumber me. But the other thing that that floats my boat is, I'm a little tired of this civil war that we have going on between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated.
Oh, my God. You better stop telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thing is, you know, the people who are vaccinated, you know, God bless you. You made a decision for your own health. But stop putting the undue pressure and unnecessary pressure on people who are choosing not to do it. And then coming to me talking about do your research. Guess what? You are the research. So if you decided, you know, that's what you want to do, that's fine, but I think people should have the right to kind of pick and choose what goes into their body, especially when you can still pass COVID, you can still get COVID, whether you're vaccinated or not.
So here's the question, though. People can choose not to be vaccinated, but should they be mad if they can't go into a restaurant or a bar or a venue, a sports venue, if the rules say you have to have a vaccine card?
Well, I mean, the rules are the rules, but here's what I say about that, Harold. If you still can get COVID, you still can pass COVID, what's the difference? So now you just have permission to pass COVID. Basically, that's all you have.
See, I may have to call Dr. Reed Tuckson in on this one, because, you know.
Hold on. And Harold.
Yes, ma'am.
I just jump in right here, because who is y'all protecting by making people not be able to come in when half of the people in the venue got a fake vaccination card? So who y'all protecting?
Let's see.
But that's true, too. But even with that, let's even take that piece out of it. The vaccine is not really working, and the numbers have been showing that. So why mandate something? This is all about economics. So they basically want to find some kind of way to still make money without shutting everything back down, and that's what it's about.
Well, I will say this, because we talk about this on our program every week. The vaccine is not a cure, and we've been talking about this since the Pfizer vaccine, since the first vaccine came out. The vaccine, while imperfect, prevents you from getting sick. And I do know. I know personally, I lost a friend back in November who died. She was unvaccinated, and she was in her 40s. And I've had some other friends who are, you know, are vaccinated and boosted, who've gotten COVID. And the whole point is that it's kept her from getting critically ill or even dying. But that's all I'm going to say.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid, Earl. That's
what I'm going to say, you know, I work here at Howard University. At Howard University, a black university, we are at the forefront of the research that has been done. So you're going to talk about Howard now? See,
I'm gonna talk about him next after Larry talk about him, because
let me tell you something,
Harold. First of all, let me tell y'all something. Can't nobody keep you from the death date. The death date has been determined before you even get here. And this is what I be seeing online. People been straight kicking the dead in the head. You know, a loving friend has died, and somebody will go as far as to be like, well, see if she was vaccinated. No. She was dying anyway. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that I cannot stand, that it has caused, like, you know, I'm telling y'all, y'all better be careful about this devil trying to use anything to separate us. If he ain't using the vaccine, he's using the racism. Now, in my book, it's three types of vaccinated people, okay? That first one is like, I just had to get vaccinated because, you know, I had to keep my job. See, that person right there is technically unvaccinated, because you got to be vaccinated in the mind.
Well, we ain't gonna solve this one here. But, you know, like I said, I just want all y'all to be safe, because...
You do that by using universal precaution.
Yeah, like, you know, making sure I have my mask when I come see both of y'all. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mike, calling from D.C. What's on your mind? What's grinding your gears, Mike?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I agree with your two guests when it comes towards the vaccine. I'm against vaccine mandate because, like you say, you can get vaccinated and you can still pass it on. You can still pass it on. I do feel like these drug companies are just using that as a way to keep making money, and they better hope that the Republicans don't take back the Senate because of what Ron Paul said he was going to do to Dr. Anthony Fauci. Do a big time investigation on him.
Well,
I'd worry about that if I was him.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Well, go ahead. What's on your mind? What else is on your mind?
I want to ask you, Harold. Were you in the District of Columbia during the Reagan years?
I was in college in Baltimore during the Reagan years, so I would say yes.
Okay. The reason why I asked that, because you talk about Joe Biden sliding numbers in the black community. I say if he wants to improve his numbers, then he should become the first president in history to do a listening tour out in Anacostia. No president in history has ever done a listening tour out in Anacostia during Black History Month. And I say he should do it at three historical locations, the Anacostia Museum, the Frederick Douglass Museum, and do a big rally at the Big Chair in downtown Anacostia. And, you know, it's basically a town hall meeting. And then next thing I know, somebody said that Ronald Reagan already did that. I'm like, huh, what? I don't remember Reagan ever doing anything like that. So, is that true?
You know what? That's a good question. And I do not, I can't say, look, I was in college. So I cannot say that I remember that.
Okay.
So no, but I will say this, that Biden's poll numbers still remain high compared to other Americans when you talk about black people. Okay. Black people still support Joe Biden. And
I see somebody laughing.
I beg your pardon?
Hear somebody laughing when you say
that. Well, we shall see what happens at the end of February when we appoint the first black woman to the Supreme Court, the first nominee. So we'll see what happens. But Mike, thank you so much. I do want to talk a little bit about this issue regarding Megan Good. I will ask the lady again first, Larry, if you don't mind. The resident, as she said, she's used to.
You better let me give you a lovely and vivacious answer.
That's, you know, I'm looking for that. I'm looking for lovely and vivacious Megan Good. You know, look, divorce is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible for just about everyone. I know some people have had divorce parties, but, you know, who knows? Maybe that's the thing about healing. But do you think, Del, that Megan should even be talking about this right now? I mean, why?
I feel like, first of all, they both talking about it, okay?
Yeah.
So, but then also, too, I need y'all to stop with all these vague, poetic answers. You know, it was a time and the season and the place and the wind blew and then 9 years and forever and antidote here. And that's just what it is. Red light, green light. Like, y'all, I need to know exactly what happened. Y'all putting out all these statements or whatever. And I'm kind of disappointed that y'all would even, like, well, you know, I've been divorced too. So, you know, you never know what happens. But the thing about Devon is he's a preacher. And he's like, this is to death do us part. And he is the one that, you know, I hear filed for divorce. So I'm just like, mm-hmm. Y'all, like, what issue did y'all have that y'all just decided that y'all was forever in love, but y'all gonna separate? Like, I need to know the full thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sounds like a rough ride. I mean, it really does. And Larry, I want you to chime in on this a little bit more after the break. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. You can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live. If you're on the phone, hang on. That includes Tony calling from Bowie and Danelle calling from Waldorf. We're going to talk to you as well. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. This discussion continues in a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having a bit of a Free Your Mind Friday. What's getting on your nerves? What's grinding your gears? We have, can I say it again, the lovely and vivacious, or maybe I'll say, try something else, a comedian, Del Harrison, and the lucky and visceral Larry Lancaster.
That's the best you could do, Harold.
I'm doing what I can. Great comedians tonight, kind of lightening the load a little bit, talking
the
about
live and breathing Larry Lancaster.
The live and breathing Larry Lancaster. What's getting on your nerves? What's bothering you? Time to get it off your chest at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Larry, this, the Megan Good piece, as I said, divorce is terrible. It's unfortunate, and it can be really sad and heartbreaking. Been there, done that. Your take on what's happening here?
Well, I just think people need to understand that forever is not as long as we think, especially when it comes to marriage. And I just think it was a difficult situation for them because no one really knows the dynamics of why they broke up. But just from on the outside looking in, her being an actress, him being a spiritual brother or a man of, you know, religious faith, I just think it was too much for him to reconcile. And even watching some of the previous interviews where he had to defend, you know, her sex scenes or, you know, her on-screen stuff and even a lot of the times the way she dressed, I just think that gets exhausting after a while to have to keep defending that. And I think ultimately that played a part in their demise.
You know, I would agree, but you know, I would also say that if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be a first lady, for example, to a pastor, I mean, there's a culture there that I would argue you almost have to be born to or raised in that culture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, and Megan Good came from a secular culture, as you said. She came from entertainment. She came from acting. And just like we can't take anything away from her beauty and sex appeal, right, Dale? And so you can't, but I think that for some, you know, for some people who are part of the insular church culture, as you said, it just may have been, maybe it was too much for her, maybe it was too much for the marriage, the pressure, you know, for all of that to be perfect.
Okay, but let me chime in here, y'all, okay? Because I grew up in the church culture, and I don't know if y'all met any preacher's kids, but them be the most unholy people of all time. So it doesn't matter whether you growing up in it or whether or not you have now given your life over to Christ. The marriage is not for the weak. That's why so many people, you know, abort mission because when that honeymoon stage ends, you know, then you got to stay there and work out the problems. Like her dressing, you was attracted to her dressing on the set and kissing people on screen. You know, you married her knowing these things. So, you know, for it to exhaust you after 9 years, like, you know, I think you got to check yourself. But then, you know, you think about somebody like, you know, Pastor Toure and Sarah Jason Rollins. I mean, she had kids out of wedlock, you know, and this was growing up in T.D. Jakes' house. You know what I'm saying? So people be out here making mistakes living their life, but it is about y'all holding on and letting the Lord lead y'all. And I know the Lord ain't led y'all to divorce. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I wouldn't, you know, and I'm not saying that she made mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have these two cultures that are coming together, and I think that's something that you preacher's kids. I think that's a different thing. You ain't marrying your kids, but like you said, he selected her. And who knows whether or not there was that conversation, you know, that conversation that said, so baby, let me explain to you you know, what it's going to be like being, you know, the wife of a prominent pastor, as opposed to the wife of a prominent entrepreneur or prominent actor, and, you know, particularly when she is prominent in her own right.
Yeah, and then I don't feel like the dressing is indicative of the character. Like, you have to go into the Bible to see all of the imperfect people that the Lord chooses. So it's about, you know, when you take a covenant with God, you take it to stay there. So, you know what I'm saying? They both are at fault. You know, I mean, even the message they put out that I was reading earlier was just like, no one's at fault. But, you know, we all are at fault when we let our flesh lead us to forsake the other person. Because, you know, this man might be a pastor, but I'm certain he's not perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wish them the best. And I guess, and Larry, you can tell me, I know everybody, all the guys are shooting their shot again. Oh.
Yeah, I heard people saying that. And it's like, come on, y'all. Yeah, y'all were just waiting for her to
just give the sister
like
a break.
No other women out here. Like, get out of here.
Well, I don't know. let me go to Darnell. Darnell, calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind? What's grinding your gears this week, man?
Hey, how you doing? First of all, I'd like to say I agree with your guest as far as the vaccine.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to spend no time talking about that girl's marriage because that's immaterial. I wish them both the best. That's it. Now, let's talk about something important.
Well, that was nice of you.
Yeah, we need to worry about I'm glad a lot of black people took their time and really tried to learn about what's going on with this vaccine and was patient and tried to hold off before they got it. If you got to go get it for your job, okay. But I would recommend that we hold off because this is the first time you're not allowed to have a conversation. You're not allowed to have a debate. They shut down. They shut you down on social media. So that's a problem right there. You know, they're not showing both sides. Now, okay, as far as I want to talk about Joe Biden and his picking this black woman, this promise to pick a black woman for the Supreme Court. And that's fine. But here's the thing. When's the last time somebody like Joe Biden, you remember Joe Biden has a 40-year record of oppressing the black community, the last time we let somebody like him, pick a Supreme Court person for black people, we ended up with Clarence Thomas. Now, we just let Joe Biden pick a quote-unquote, he promised to pick a black lady for vice president, and we end up with Kamala Harris, an Asian woman who has a 20-year record of keeping black people in oppression. So when Joe Biden says that he's going to pick a black lady for the Supreme Court, come on, black people. We can't be this foolish. We can't be this easily fooled. Now, let me ask you a question. I've learned a little bit about the people that he's chosen. They're all very problematic. You know, I think we need to advocate for Judge Olu Stevens. That's all I want to say.
Okay, that's a name that I've not heard, but
Judge Olu Stevens?
And that's probably why, Harold. Like, sometimes when people go against the grain and they're not just lock them up, it's particularly, you know, African-American people or people of color, you don't hear from them, and they take a lot of fire for that.
Okay. Well, Darnell, I don't have anything to say about that. I mean, you know, I could give Darnell a civics lesson, but I won't, other than to say that Joe Biden did not pick Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas was picked by George Herbert Walker Bush, the first Bush president. He was chair of the Senate Judiciary, but he did not pick Clarence Thomas. So let us be clear. That's a little civics.
No, I think
that was a little civics 101.
Last time we allowed somebody like him to pick.
He did not pick. You said pick. He did not pick. He was picked.
No, he said someone like him, not necessarily him.
So you're saying Joe Biden is like Herbert Walker Bush? Man, get up out of here.
I mean,
Darnell, I'm going to cut you loose. Let me cut you loose, brother. I'm going to cut you loose. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from Bowie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thank you for taking my call once again.
Go right ahead.
The Xbox games and this Grand Theft Auto. Recall how parents stand in line and they go through hell and high water to get these games for the kids. But Grand Theft Auto comes to reality when we have 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds on Florida Avenue shooting at each other.
Yeah, that was rough. That was horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, where do we draw the line? We get these young kids the opportunity to play with these games, which are fantasy to them, and then it becomes reality when they end up killing somebody. So I think we need to start holding the parents accountable.
You mean by telling them don't buy the games?
No, not buy the games. Well, Harold, we're probably about the same age. When I was younger, we couldn't go out and buy these types of games that promoted violence and even the same thing with music and movies. We had to be at least 18 or be accompanied by an adult.
And
right. These kids, they can't separate fantasy from reality until somebody is killed. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that would grind, that, you know, that, what do you think about that, Larry? Because certainly the times have changed since, you know, Atari and Pac-Man and all of that stuff. And yes, I missed the, you know, the video game craze. I mean, I know there are a lot of guys my age, guys that are in their 40s who love it. I guess I don't have the manual dexterity for those things, but still, you know, how do we deal with that kind of stuff, Larry?
This is actually interesting, Harold, because my girlfriend and I were just actually discussing this about kind of like where do you draw the line between freedom of speech, censorship, and then how far things go and the impact of different things. And we were particularly talking about it in music.
That's right.
Versus how, you know, when Little Kim first came out versus where we are now with the Cardi B. And the brother brought up the video game. It's like we're desensitizing our children to violence and crime they need any help with that. And so the other thing is when you couple the game with lack of parenting, lack of finding out where your kids are, lack of knowing who your kids are around, lack of knowing what your kids are doing. It's a it's a dangerous combination. And it's like, it's no real easy answer to it, but it's definitely something that we need to take a closer look at.
I think parenting definitely has a lot to do with that. What do you say, Del?
Yeah, and I was so glad you asked me to chime in because...
Oh, you can always chime in. You can always, the lovely and vivacious Del Harrison can always try to
give y'all another vivacious opinion.
Go right ahead.
No, you know, when I was growing up, because Larry, Harold, I was saying the same thing about the movies. There is a reason why you have all these young wannabe thugs, murdering, you know, want to be on top because you show it to them visually. You know, and then it's glorified. It's like these glorified characters from movies. But when I was growing up, I couldn't even watch TV. Like, my mother had, like, books and encyclopedias and all of these things, and you had to paint your own picture in the mind, you know, from the things that you were reading. And I feel like we need to go back to that limited intake. And I do feel like some parents, like, you know, my homegirl, she limits the screen time that, you know, her kids can have on electronics. And I, you know, feel like that definitely helps. But as far as, like, you know, games about murder and killing, we need to scratch that all together. When you have young, influential spirit in the household, I feel like those kind of things shouldn't even be in there because it sticks with you. You know, you watch a scary movie on your way to bed, you have a dream that scared the mess out of you. You know,
I know
what
that's right.
Yeah. And also, Harold, another thing is that if you look at what we have going on now, like 50 is like the producer of about 4 to 5 different series, and they're all crime-based.
That's
right. You had Power, which was, you know, about the drug kingpin. Then you had his son who became a drug kingpin. Then you had the Book of Canaan. And then he brought out the BMF, which is about this charismatic gang leader. And it's all so seductive, and people look at these things and watch these things, and it desensitizes and also glorifies. And we really got to take a look at this. Now, I'm happy for a black man having that kind of success, but also I think about, like, but to what degree and at what cost?
Yeah. Well, Tony, Tony, thank you so much for bringing up that issue and getting it off your chest. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, okay, Dell, the L.A. Rams are going to be in the the NFC Championship game this weekend against San Francisco. What's your team? What is the vibe in Los Angeles? Do you care?
Well, you know, I'm so glad you informed me on who was playing this weekend.
and you're so glad I asked you to chime in.
So glad I can give you a vivacious sport team answer out here.
That's right.
I do care about the Super Bowl because my best friend is coming in town. Shout out to Shawnee. He will be here and we will be partying up. But I really know not a big sports, you know, person. But I'm telling you, I mean, I've been going around and, you know, to different shows and people are way invested in, you know, every time I hear somebody talking about, and I can't believe the Bills lost. I'm like, well, what did y'all talk about at practice? Did you tell them how you felt then? Because, or were you not there? Because this is way too much energy for you to be off the team. Like, come on now.
So Larry, who's your team? Well, I'll tell you what I think, but
I'm with Team Kaepernick, so it's kind of like I wish I could give you a better answer. Her, you picked the two comics who are kind of like politically aware, so it's like, you know, it's like we might not be giving you the funniest answers, but it's the most honest. I kind of fell out of love with football after the way they handled the whole Kaepernick thing, because it just spoke to me and it showed me what they really thought about black people and the things that affect them. So if you have a commodity which is basically comprised of young black males, police brutality is an issue that very much affects them. And for you, even from a business standpoint, to say, well, listen, we don't care about this and we don't want you to even care about it or say that you care about it publicly, just show that they're tone deaf and that they just don't care. They can wear pink for breast cancer during October. And from my understanding, none of those players have breasts. But you can't talk about an issue that directly affects you. And I just thought it was a slap in the face to black people. So after that, I'm not interested in football.
Oh, okay. Well,
go ahead. You know,
go ahead, Dell.
That brings me back to, like, you know, God, I hate to even bring it up again, but, you know, the desire for us to live. Larry, you said something about wanting us to, like, live and just, you know, breast cancer, because that's what I hear about the, you know, the vaccine again.
Are we talking? We just spent 15 minutes on the vaccine. I asked y'all about football.
Okay.
I mean, dang.
Harold, everything is going to lead back to the vaccine.
When I come to see your show, Dell, when you come to Baltimore, D.C., and you say, Harold, I got a headache. Do you have any Tylenol? I'm going to look at you with a side eye. But I promise. Because the biggest headache I had last weekend was watching Kansas City and Buffalo play, because I used to live in both cities and I love both cities. And Buffalo could, you know, Buffalo has had its hard times trying to get to the Super Bowl. And I
was you at my show last night, because like
you need
the
to come
same
up
conversation
here.
This guy was having for 30 minutes on stage about that loss.
Yeah, you know, the folks in Buffalo, those are some flinty people. I mean, they are salt of the earth, you know, hardcore working class. Buffalo is a tough love city. So it just broke my heart. I wanted to call my former co-anchor and just give her a virtual hug, because she's still up there. I know she was crying.
Now, this is what I need to ask you, Harold.
Yes, ma'am.
All your Buffalo fans out there, what team was you actually on when they was playing, since you say you lived in both cities? Because don't try to jump on Kansas after Buffalo lose.
Well, no, but see, like I said, I didn't know who to root for. You know, because I like Kansas City and I like Buffalo. I didn't know who to root for.
Well, you knew not to root for Washington, whatever they call it.
Yeah, well, then there's that.
You knew who not to root for, Harold.
Yeah. Hometown team just did not do so well. But they're going to have a new name. So maybe that we'll see what happens with the new name. That's
right,
happening.
Because right now it's like a generic football team, like, you know, the Washington football players.
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like when you go to the store and you got pamphlets.
I knew you were going to say that.
Guys, y'all better check with some of these Redskins fans out here. They're going to be Redskins for the rest of their life. Okay? Oh. All these fans going to have to die off in order for them not to be called the Redskins.
I know.
You're right, Dal. They don't care about the Indians at all. They're just like, look, this is what I grew up on. This is what I know. But, you know, in the political climate, it's good that we're being more sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Well, let us hope so. Let's see what Clark has to say. Thanks. Clark calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Clark. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Harold.
What's happening?
Hey, Harold, how you doing, Harold? How are you?
Man,
hey.
I'm doing just good. I'm doing just fine, rather. I was thinking about Megan Good. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
That's okay. I kind of agree on that, right? Hey, but look, I was calling you to piggyback on your call a couple of calls ago. What happened was when he talked about Ronald Reagan having a rally down in Southeast, that wasn't the case. What happened... Ronald Reagan took him to liken it to a young man that lived in Berry Farms.
I see. Okay.
He came real close with this young man. He kept in contact with this young man. And the young man actually spoke at his funeral. So that's what your caller was talking about. But and another thing, I was basically calling, man, because I don't do social media and things like that. I want to say one thing, and this is about Joe Gorham.
Joe Gorham, and our beloved announcer who passed away earlier this week.
I listened to him in the in-flight concerts and the choir storm and everything else, and I just wanted to say, you know, WHUR has lost two great men within a year's time, but I know HUR is in good hands. And I just wanted to give my condolences to you and the WHUR family. And that's all I got to say, Earl.
Clark, I really, really appreciate it because even, you know, Joe was retired. Joe was always, he was always around. He was a really wonderful friend and one of the biggest cheerleaders for the radio station and all of us. And we are, you know, we're working here, but we are family here. And we are going to miss Joe terribly. I really appreciate you chiming in with that, Clark. God, stay blessed, man.
Thank you so much, Harold. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So here's the other thing. One of the other topics that I did want to touch on, and it's been revealed that CNN commentator and former federal prosecutor Laura Coates was mentioned as a possible host by Alex Trebek before he died. Mm. However, during an interview, she said that she was not considered the lovely and vivacious Del Harrison. Your thoughts about that? Because I will say, as an analyst, I just think that Laura Coates is the cat's meow. I think she's fantastic. And she's highly intelligent. She's very telegenic. I think she has the personality for it. I think she would have been perfect. When I heard about that, I was really disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say don't give up. You can't go to the door. You know, What have we ever done in this country as black people and knocked on the door one time and they was like, come right on in. We were waiting for you, black woman, to take over this top. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have to continue to persevere because wherever there is new heights for you to climb, there's going to be people that are holding that door, you know, with all that vigor. So, I mean, I want to see her in there, and I want to see her persevere because it's not up to them. It's up to the Lord. That's what everything that we want. You see what I'm saying? So we pray to the Lord, and he tells them what to do. So I want to see her. I'll be keeping her in prayer because I definitely want to see her, you know, kick down the door, you know?
Yeah, she's a bad sister, Larry. I mean, she's sharp. She really, really is.
And I also, they also rejected LeVar Burton.
That's right. And honestly, I mean, that is his wheelhouse.
And so to me, what this says is that it's another example of them holding on to white supremacy. Because when you think about Jeopardy, you always think about the smartest people alive. And so I just feel like the host kind of represents that. And people kind of associated Alex Trebek with being a really smart, intelligent guy. And I just think they're not ready to have a black person hold that position. The same way they weren't ready for a black James Bond, a black male James Bond. And so these bastions of white supremacy, they're going to hold on to as long as they can.
Oops. Larry, did we lose you?
No, I'm still here. I don't know if the government cut my phone off.
Government
conspiracy. Talking about the vaccine, so I know it wasn't you.
Government conspiracy for 500, Larry.
yeah, I don't know what part you didn't hear, but I was just saying that it's a representation of white supremacy, and they're just not ready to insert a black person to represent intelligence.
Okay. So final one. You know, dry January is almost over, and yet there are some people who have really struggled with that, about not drinking during January, whether it's they're so used to imbibing, or perhaps because we are still, you know, in the midst of these difficult pandemic times and people are eating more, drinking more, and the like. What do you think, Larry? Do you think that's the case? Are people having a rough time staying off the sauce?
First of all, this is news to me, Harold, because I had no idea January was supposed to be dry. So to answer your question, if you don't even know you're supposed to not be drinking, of course you're going to have a difficulty not drinking. I drank before I got on the phone.
Well, that explains it all.
I'm the wrong person to be asking, and I'm not even a drinker, but just like you said, the conditions of the pandemic, people aren't going out as much. People in the house more, you have to kind of find ways to, you know, self-entertain. And so I just think as long as you do it responsibly and moderately, it's not a problem.
Yeah. Dry January has been around for a while. And I guess because a lot of people who may drink moderately from all the way up until the holiday season, Thanksgiving hits, and then boom, they're into it, and then you've got Christmas.
When you said dry January, I thought you just meant it was boring, meaning it wasn't a lot going on. I was like, yeah, it has been kind of slow. I had
kind of dry out here in these clubs. The thing that I feel like now, listen, whoever having problems not drinking, been having problems not drinking all the rest of the month too. You see what I'm saying?
True that.
And I feel like with dry January in particular, because, you know, I'm not even a person that drinks a lot. And sometimes I'll go to a place and I'm like, you just want like a little nightcap, you know, to take the edge off. And then sometimes I'll ask myself, I'm like, well, why am I drinking? Like, I don't have to drink just because I'm here. Mm-hmm. But the temptation is just there. The music is going. Everybody else drinking. So you just like, okay, I think I need to just get started. I'm here by myself. You know, you start making up the excuses. But look, before I got on the call with y'all, you know, I saw an article that said that people are picking up these non-alcoholic wine, spirits, and beers, you know, more than they're picking up drinking. I'm like, y'all, just ask for some juice.
Yeah,
like,
how about some grape juice?
Right. There's some Welch's grape juice, like they do in communion.
I was about to say, you know, you always have the kids who are drinking more at the communion table. Can I have some more juice, please?
Just get some water, y'all.
Okay? Oh, my goodness. I will say the always breathing Larry Lancaster. and the lovely and vivacious Del Harrison. Del, you gotta let us know when you're gonna be here on the East Coast, because I would love to sit right in front and make faces at you.
And I would love to give you some of these lovely and vivacious faces.
I bet you would. Larry, Del, thank you so much. Look, you all be safe. Take care of yourselves. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Love you, Del. Love you, her. Always a pleasure, brother.
Okay.
That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, January 28th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a safe weekend.